This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
When there's an emergency, we call an ambulance. But what happens when the emergency involves our pets, those four-legged, feathery or furry members of the family? Well, that's where ReadyVet Go comes in. It's a paramedic-style service that brings urgent care straight to your pet when every minute counts. Well, joining us for the first edition of our brand new weekly pet segment is Nick from ReadyVet Go. Nick, welcome to Drive.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited about this because we haven't had a regular pet segment for some time, and I'm so excited that we're bringing it back because everyone loves animals, don't they?
Absolutely. We are so happy to join the team and hopefully just be a resource for people at home when, you know, you have questions that you just simply can't answer yourself.
Now, let's talk about ReadyVet Go. Tell us about how it got started.
So ReadyVet Go was co-founded by myself and my partner, Paul Cunningham. Paul is an emergency vet. My background is actually human nursing and paramedicine. So the service came about by, it's quite a sad story actually, but emergency doctors who receive really critical pets who have been transported in by their owners.
Oh, really?
Where they've been critically unwell, and there's been no transport in between, particularly if they've deteriorated at a vet clinic and needing to go to a 24-hour hospital. So,
how important is the transport component when there is such an emergency happening?
Well, I guess the answer to that is asking how important is it to humans. Mm. So there is a reason why we have these services for us, and it's the exact same reason. So these things can make the difference between life and death for a lot of pets that we transport.
Now, what sort of situations do people typically call you for?
Ah, good question.
I would call for everything, but yes.
That is it really varies, and the same way as it does for human emergency services. There are times when we get calls from clients who are extremely concerned for their pet's well-being, and we get there and everything's fine, and that's what we want. We don't want them to be unwell. But there's times when people call for a simple constipation and we're doing a full resus by the time getting in there. Yeah.
Nick, how do we, I suppose, and I say we as pet owners, how do we know when something is actually an emergency and when it might just be something minor? Because I know, I had an older dog who passed away last year, but in the last couple of years of his life, I felt like I could have had a caravan at the vet clinic because I was there all the time. The slightest thing, I was like, what's going on? And they were great. They were really good in understanding that, hang on, I think the Warren's got the anxiety, not so much the dog. How do we know when to call an ambulance like yourselves?
Sometimes it's one of the things that we really reiterate to our clients is that you not knowing is absolutely fine. What we need to follow are our instincts and remember that if the pets can't talk to us, it's much more difficult for us to determine exactly what's going on. So we always say follow your instincts. You know your pet best, and when you're detecting something, it is for a good reason.
That's really good advice because I feel like we, even though we can't speak a language, we do know our pets. Amy, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. You've used the service, ReadyVet Go. Tell us about your experience.
I've used it multiple times, actually. I have a 10-year-old Dachshund, and, you know, a bit like you, I can notice every sort of thing that's a little bit off or not quite right. And there's been a couple of options, like moments where I'm like, she's so sick, I don't want to get in the car by myself and have her in the back seat strapped up, and God knows what's going to happen. You know, I don't know, she's just too sick to move. So I've called these guys and they've come straight into the house. I don't have to get in the car. I don't have to move the dog. She's in a you know, safe and warm environment that she knows, and then she can get assessed there.
I just thought of something because I know the times that I've had to take an animal to the emergency vet, you put them in the back and they're on their own, aren't they? Mm. And often, I suppose, there's a risk in driving too, because you're looking around going, are you okay? You know?
And you're distracted.
And you're distracted as well.
You're a bit of a risk as well. So it just reduces that risk and they come straight into the house. It's amazing.
Nick, we've got a SMS saying, does it also cater to animals other than cats and dogs?
At the moment, we are a very small service, unfortunately. So we are the only vet paramedic service in Victoria that has an emergency vet on board. With a range of types of animals, you do need different equipment. So with the space that we have, we do cater to cats and dogs first and foremost. For things like rabbits, reptiles, there's basic first aid that we can provide or prescribe medications out. But typically our pets that we get called to are cats and dogs.
What are some of the signs that, and Amy, you touched on this as well, we notice things, small things in our pets. Nick, what are some of the signs that we should never, ever ignore?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before, and I've had this in my career as a human nurse. If I have a family member who is concerned, no matter what numbers are coming up for me, you know, objective numbers, even if the blood pressure is correct, even if the heart rate's completely accurate, the temperature, if I've got a family member saying to me, that's fine, but there is something that's not right, I follow that pathway.
Have there been moments where you've arrived just in time to make a real difference? How does that feel?
There have been. There's been a lot of circumstances since starting this service where we know that without our intervention, the pet wouldn't have survived. A really great story that we had, and actually we had the owners just message back, and we probably treated this dog maybe a year or so ago, a collapsed bull Arab dog, 55 kilos, up in a mezzanine in a little Williamstown townhouse. Two fully, you know, able-bodied people there, but they just could not move this pet. So we came in, we were able to stabilize at the time, able to do an ultrasound on site and saw that he was actually bleeding into his abdomen. So we had to extricate him, little Franco, well, not little, he was quite a big dog, and got him to advanced vet care. On the way, Paul, our vet, he was able to revert an arrhythmia of his cardiac rhythm and got him into surgery, and he was home and is still thriving where he otherwise would have passed away on that floor.
That's an amazing story. How do you do it? I mean, it's a career that I could not do. I'd be an emotional wreck all the time. Amy, I imagine you would be as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you do it?
Look, we don't always do it without tears, but it is really important for us to be able to emotionally detach. Getting emotionally involved with every pet means that there is room for error, where if we hone in on that skill of not detaching in a way that it's cold, but being able to be quite concise with what we are looking at, then we get the best outcome for the pet.
We're chatting with Nick from Ready Vet Go and Amy, a client of Ready Vet Go. Now, Nick, how do you, I suppose, reassure people who are worried or are overreacting? I mean, a lot of us don't want to feel like we're being dramatic, but then, you know, once you see your animal sick, you start worrying and
absolutely,
you know, you think it's the end of the world. How do you reassure the clients while also treating the animal?
Yeah, it is a bit of a multitask sometimes. That's why it's always good to have two people going into these situations, because we're also doing it in front of the client. Typically, if you take your pet to the hospital, they will take them out the back and they will work
on
them.
You don't see it.
Yeah. So you are doing it in a way where you're actually trying to control the scene.
That's amazing. Now, you've got a TV show.
We do.
Tell us about the TV show.
Yes, the TV show. So we've actually filmed an 8-episode observation documentary. If I were to describe it mixing a few shows, I'd say Bondi Vet versus Bondi Rescue type scenario, and paramedics, a human paramedics TV show. So Look, it's a TV show that we are extremely proud of. We've worked really, really hard as executive producers on the show, alongside our production company that approached us, MCW Productions. And it is a really we are really proud of what the outcome has been. And we're really excited to show people something that you haven't seen before in a vet show.
Is it real? Because I feel like sometimes you watch these animal or vet shows and it's sort of sanitized to make us feel okay.
Yes. So, look, when we were approached about this, we were really adamant that it was going to be real. We didn't want to shy away from it. And I think one of my, you know, we have really great vet shows on board, but I think something we do shy away from is the reality of actually what does happen in these emergency spaces. And I think even veterinarians, vet nurses, everyone in the vet field is going to watch this show and see things that they've never seen before, because they've never been in the home with when these pets deteriorate. They only receive them in the hospital. So we're really excited to put that out there. We are very, very proud to say that we don't shy away from the scary topics. Mm. So, look, you may need to have a set of tissues on board throughout the series at times.
Amy's nodding.
Yeah.
but you know, it was really important to us that we didn't hide things from our viewers and respect pet owners. In a way that will educate them and prepare them for things like this and give them the tools that I don't think a vet show has actually done before.
I like the sound of that, because I feel like as a pet owner, often we convince ourselves that it will be nothing serious we don't necessarily, and when it is something serious, it hits really hard.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the topics we'll be talking about over the series is also grief.
Yes.
Pet grief, because we don't talk about pet grief.
We do not talk about pet grief. And, you know, I do always find it hard to talk about it, and it's the hardest part of this whole service or being in the veterinary industry. We shy away from it, and I think we don't give people permission to grieve in the same way that we do for humans. And it's a bit of a taboo, and we are not about that. So,
also lots of positive stories as well.
Absolutely.
Nick, it's great to chat with you. When's the TV show on? When can we watch it?
The TV show starts this coming Sunday, the 20th of July at 2:30. It's airing on 9 Go, and you'll be able to catch up on 9 Now.
Fantastic. And before we let you go, the most important question, if we've got a pet that is not well and we think we need your service, where do we get the info?
You can head on over to our website, readyvetgo.com.au. You can also go to our Instagram and Facebook, Instagram is readyvetgo.com.au as well.
Fantastic.
Makes it easy.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Amy, thank you so much for sharing your story as
Thanks
well.
For having me.
And we're going to chat to you again next week with more
Absolutely.
Pet Talk here on Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.